August 25th, 2020, month-end meeting at 6:30, and regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the audit meeting for the month of August. We're still, I think we still have a couple of options that need signature, or are we good on that right now?
There was only one.
Okay.
Mr. Hogan's saying.
All right, so we get to go all the way in.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. We do have a couple of vouchers that we need to transfer funds for. I don't have any that require discussion for this month. And so I'm looking for a motion to that $5,812.32 be transferred from account A9050.8, which is general employee benefits employment, and that same amount be transferred from A7140.1, general employee benefits information personal services. The purpose of this transfer is for the payment of unemployment services during the pandemic state of emergency for our rec employees.
Want to take a individual?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Second.
Any discussion on that? We're just going through the first resolution down.
Yep.
We'll give a copy of the email.
Okay.
So we've got a motion and a second. We're on the discussion. Anybody have any comments or questions on that? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yeah.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimous. The next resolution we'll need is one that specifies $623.17 will be transferred to account A8810.4, which is General Home Community Services Cemeteries, and that same amount be transferred from A500, which is General Assets, General Clearing Account. This is to ensure that we have enough funding for replacement of the cemetery fence that we've discussed at previous board meetings.
Right.
So, somebody would like to move that motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Only because I wasn't present. Was this a replacement of a worn out? Or was it a
Yeah, so on the cemetery down there, next to, I think it's Cruza.
Griswold South, maybe?
Yeah, automotive. On the north side of that cemetery, we had a stockade fence that's been there for years. It had rotted out, and I think it was last year, the wind just basically toppled it over. And our rec guys went and cleaned it up, removed it from the premises, and we were going to go without a fence there. And
we were actually talking about that sport ramp.
Well, that's right. We went to a split rail.
And the neighbor wanted to stop you.
Right. So the neighboring property owner was willing to pay the difference in the cost. It had cost the town to go up from the split rail to the stockade fence, which was there previously. So he made a generous donation to the town recreation, actually the town in general. So in order to have enough money in the rec budget, we need to transfer his donation to that account, and now we'll have enough to make the supplies, the purchase of supplies. So we have a first and a second on that. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And then the last account resolution that the transfer funds is for an amount of $321, and that be transferred to account A4220.4, which is General Health Narcotics Control, and that the same amount be transferred from account A19 transfer is for the payment of the DOT drug screen performed on highway and water personnel.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So, I think we've got everything signed.
I have one more signature for this one.
Okay.
Right.
All right, we have all the necessary signatures for the vouchers. We've completed the transfer of funds, so at this time, I'll entertain a motion to pay the bills as audited.
Second. So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Excellent. So we have an appointment of banking for auditing. I think we're all set until the regular town board meeting for 7 p.m.
Okay.
So I'll entertain a motion to close the audit meeting.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Everybody ready? I'm here.
Sit up, Brad.
All right. Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Town of Monroe Town Board meeting for August 25th, 2020, and ask for a roll call.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And before we have a pledge of allegiance, I want to welcome back Councilmember Van Tassel. We're very pleased that he once again is joining us as a member of the town board, and we look forward to doing great things together. So with that, I'll ask for a pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Item 1 on this evening's agenda is approval of minutes. And do we have the microphones for everybody? Just want to encourage everyone who does have microphones, it's harder to hear from the members in the back row versus the front row. I think this microphone picks up pretty well, but I've heard from the public that when the members in the second row are talking, it's very helpful to have a microphone in front of it. So,
right in front of my face.
So with that, again, looking at approval minutes, we have two sets from August 11th. The first one is the public hearing on Local Law 3 of 2020, which is the multiple family dwellings minutes. And the second one, also on that day, was a regular town board meeting. I believe we can take them both together since everyone that is here now, with the exception of Council Member Van Tassel, was here for that those meetings. So would someone like to move approval of the minutes?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from August 11th, 2020 for the public hearing of Local Law Number 3, the 2020 Multiple Family Dwellings, and August 11th, 2020 regular town board meeting.
Second.
Any discussion, corrections, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is approved unanimously. Item 2 on the agenda is set future meetings and workshops. I don't really need to set a meeting or workshop at this time, but I would ask the board or the personnel committee to consider setting up interviews for the clerk position that we created last year for the supervisor's office. As you all know, Rudy's no longer with us. He would have been up to 80 hours a month helping to put the vouchers together. Have to give kudos to Jeff Cruz and my secretary, Lisa Sperry, who have been working together to fill that void since Rudy's departure. However, now we're coming into budget season, and I can tell you that there is no spare time for anybody in my office to be able to take on that role. So one of the things that I'd like the board to consider is possibly rolling in that role with the other roles that we had discussed for that clerk position to assist with audit, also with water billing, basically backfill. We have staff that are either sick or on vacation in other departments, and go from there. So we have applicants. We have some interviewed some staff that are interested in that position, but we also have new applicants that have applied for jobs. So I would ask the personnel committee to take a look at those and see if there's any individuals that you want to interview, and take it from there. Okay. Maybe we can have a discussion at the next board meeting.
Okay.
All right. And item 3 on the agenda is adoption of local law number 3. And I believe we already closed the public hearing on that last board meeting. And so now we have some housekeeping to do before we can actually take up the proposed local law for consideration. And I'll turn the council report. Guidance on that.
Sure. As you know, in order to approve the local law, you have to conduct SECR. And when I sent the packet out to you folks, I included both parts 1 and then draft parts 2 and 3 of the SECR determination. So what you'll need to do tonight is declare yourselves lead agency and accept SECR Part 1, the EAF Part 1, so that the supervisor can sign it. And then we'll go through the Part 2, and if you are in agreement with how I put it together, Part 2 and Part 3, you will issue a negative declaration. If you want to do other things, you can do that as well. So what you would need to do is first declare yourselves lead agency, and then go into Part 2.
Okay, thank you, Council. Would you like to phrase the resolution for consideration so that we are accurate in the language?
Sure, it's very simple. You would want a motion to declare the town board lead agency for Local Law 3 of 2020.
I'd like to make a motion to declare the town board lead agency for local law number 3 of 2020.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yes. The motion carries unanimously. So the town has now declared itself lead agency.
So the next thing that you would have is Part 2 of the short EAF. And I don't know if you have that in front of you, but this is where you go through the 11 questions and you ascertain whether the action of adopting the local law is going to have a significant environmental impact. I'm happy to go through and ask you all 11 questions. I've taken the liberty of indicating that the impact for all 11 is no or small impact, since this is the adoption of the law, not the actual action of the adoption of the law. So the environmental impact is small or not even there. So the question is, do you want me to read all 11 questions? I'm happy to do so.
Yeah, I think that's important that we have it in the record.
Will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulation? I can ask, right, it has marked as no or small impact. Is that acceptable?
Agreed. Yeah.
Number two, will the proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of use of land? Again, no or small impact. Number three, will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No or small impact. Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristics that caused the establishment of a critical environmental area? No?
No, of course not.
Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? No or small impact?
No.
Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? I've marked no or small impact. Will the proposed action impact existing public-private water supplies and public-private wastewater treatment utilities? Again, no or small impact. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? No or small impact? Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources? No or small impact? Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No or small impact? And final question, will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No or small impact? So the next part is to go through part three, which is to determine its significance. This is the area where you ascertain whether you believe there is a significant or not a significant impact. Based on the answers you gave to part two, you would check the box if you determine that the proposed action will not result in any significant adverse environmental impacts. I have checked that box. Is that okay?
Yes, it is.
So, is it the board's wish to declare a negative declaration for Local Law 3 of 2020?
Yes.
That part will be in the adoption resolution. So, Mr. Supervisor, you'll have to sign both part 1 and part 3 of this. The next step would be to adopt Local Law 3 of 2020. Just to give a little more background, especially for Councilman Van Tassel, since you weren't fortunate enough to hang out with us last time during the very quiet public hearing. This law amends the zoning code to restrict multiple dwelling units to only the areas where they are right now, the UR area, and it restricts two-family houses to the UR and the R2 zone. So, because it was zoning and because it, you connect next to the village of Sutherland Falls, this had to go to Saratoga County Planning Board under the general municipal law. It was heard by the planning board at its monthly meeting last Thursday. I provided you with the impact decision, so that's part of the record. The resolution that's been prepared for adoption is in front of you, and I'm happy to read it, but if you're sick of hearing my voice, I'm sure Leanne would love to jump in.
We're going to mix it up. We don't want Leanne to feel left out.
Resolution, Town Board, Town of Moreau, subject adoption of Local Law 3 of 2020, amending Chapter 149, Zoning of the Code of the Town of Moreau. Whereas the Town Board of the Town of Moreau is considering the adoption of Local Law Number 3 of 2020, which, if adopted as proposed, would amend Chapter 149, Zoning and the Bulk and Use Schedules to limit multifamily dwellings to the UR zone and limit two-family dwellings to the R2 and UR zones. And whereas the board finds that the adoption of local law number 3 of 2020 is in the best interest of the town, and it is necessary to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of town residents and property owners. And whereas the board finds that the adoption of local law number 3 of 2020 is a necessary and proper exercise of authority by the board. And whereas the authority for the enactment of this local law is found in section 10(1)(i) of the Municipal Home Rule Law. And whereas pursuant to section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law, a public hearing on the proposed adoption of local law number 3 of 2020 was properly noticed in the newspaper and posted and was duly conducted on August 11, 2020 at the Town Municipal Complex and via remote streaming pursuant to Executive Order 202.1 et sec. And whereas the board has considered the public comments made at the public hearing, and whereas the board serving as lead agency for this unlisted action under SEACR reviewed a short environmental assessment form and determined that the action does not present any adverse environmental impacts. And whereas the Saratoga County Planning Board has issued a determination of no significant countywide or intercommunity impact associated with this local law. And whereas after thorough review and deliberation, the board proposes to adopt local law number 3 of 2020. And whereas the attorney for the town has prepared the necessary documents for filing this local law with the Secretary of State, including the text of the law itself. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the board hereby adopts local law number 3 of 2020, which amends the law as stated above, and be it further resolved that the board adopts and authorizes the filing of a negative declaration, and be it further resolved that the board hereby authorizes the town clerk and the attorney for the town to make such minor modifications to the local law documents as they deem necessary, and thereafter are directed to execute and file the said documents as required by law, and to take all of the necessary action for the promulgation thereof.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Hogan. Any discussion?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Yes. And once the mail has changed, we will call names.
Yes.
And just so you're aware of procedurally what happens now, if you recall, you put a moratorium on multiple family dwelling apartments, building permits, things of that nature. Now that this local law has been passed, once it's filed in front of the state, the moratorium goes away by operation of law.
And I believe that moratorium was set to sunset on the 30th of August?
The 30th or 31st, right?
Okay. So probably coincide almost at the same time. So good. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for that. And you have two documents signed. Do you need anything else on that for your document?
No. Okay. I'll try to get this.
Item 4 on this evening's agenda, I have listed as crossing guards with school starting up. I know it will happen shortly. I've been asked by some of the individuals that I employ as crossing guards as to whether their services are going to be continued to be utilized. And so I wanted to have a town board discussion on that. Just for budgeting purposes, we have three individuals that perform this service. They do it on a county road, which is Bluebird Road, in front of Royal Elementary School, which, as you know, has, I believe, a 15 and 20 mile per hour speed limit posting there. We also have an individual on Peter Dam Road, which is a town road, and Tangle Drive, which is also a town road. So they work 2 hours a day for approximately 10 months. They also get paid for school holidays as well. So what that does is it works out approximately just over $15,000 annually. And so I'm looking for a direction from the board. Do you want to continue to have them work in that capacity? Do you want to have a resolution that says that upon a vacancy in any of those positions, we don't fill it? Just looking for where the board would like to go on that. One of the things I'm looking at as we put the budget together for next year is I'm essentially looking for anywhere where we have services that the board may want to trim in an effort to keep our taxes flat and also allow current staffing needs to be met. So I don't know what the board would like to do on that.
And I would love to save money where we can. I just don't know if the safety that they do provide, if we needed only one day, it's worth it. So I would be in favor of continuing to pay for these crossing guards using their services.
Okay. I'm going to say I agree.
I agree. I'm quite familiar with the Bluebird Road, and that's, although a great little speed limit, that's a sharp point and corner spot. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. Not knowing what's going to happen with schools going forward, it's a little unpredictable. But right now, I think that assumption all is going to be
yes.
I suggest yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the safety for children is number one. Okay. We all want to save some money, but I guess.
So,
especially on Bluebird Road and Tanglewood, it's a traffic up and down the road.
Okay.
That's fine. So I will report back to them.
My question would be, if school does shut down or if there's another dismissal,
so,
I'm assuming we would not pay them.
No, so when the school was shut down, we were required by the governor to pay them. So that's why I'm raising the question.
The reason you were required by the governor to pay them was due to an executive order. We would presume that if this happens, a similar executive order would come down the pipe. But so he could or he couldn't. It's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm getting on everybody's radar. Obviously, those positions are funded through the end of this budget, which is 12/31. But they were looking for direction with school starting up. They wanted to have an open conversation. So it sounds like everybody's in favor of this one.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I will share that with our three part-time employees. All right. Item 5 on the agenda I have is the highway department. I've got a couple items there. The first one is in relation to, as I reported at a previous board meeting, the new roof has been installed on the highway garage. The heating units are installed. We're still working with National Grid to get the necessary upgrade to the natural gas line coming into the building. The only thing we don't have is that we need to have a penetration either on the sidewall or through the roof to vent the heating system. And the original plan was to duct it out the sidewall of the building. And along the way, Paul Joseph, our highway superintendent, indicated that that would impede the use of that space when the trucks up to work on, because it would keep trucks from being raised at necessary elevation. So there were ongoing conversations. The roofing company was not willing to warranty. Originally not willing to warranty the roof system if we penetrated the roof. However, the town engineer, working with the HVAC engineer, were able to come to an agreement between the roofing contractor, roofing manufacturer, to come up with a some costs associated with that for the comeback and do work. Because the roofing company came, they did what we contracted them to do, the damage is all done, and they didn't pay for it. However, Don, working with the various groups, has a price. It's just under $3,000 to do that penetration. I think board members have documentation on that. So Don Rhodes is recommending that we approve a resolution essentially allowing the expenditure of an additional, up to an additional $2,000 to complete the ventilation work.
All warranties work.
With all warranties, yeah. That would work. And, I mean, I've got some engineering drawings, so if anybody wants to take a look at them. And so the resolution would be to authorize the expenditure of up to $3,000 for R&D to provide roof penetration with supporting structure below the roof with a 20-year warranty, and for Arrow to provide a rubber boot flash to the roof at each blue pipe.
So this funding is coming from?
So this is going to come from, we had earmarked over $600,000 for the roof replacement. We do have contingency for Iowa, but is it the general fund or the city? So does that come out there? So we'll have to look at revenues or where we are with expenditures, see if that requires any budget changes. I think that this 29 won't require a budget change. But that'll be a discussion for another meeting.
Looking for a motion actually on it?
Yeah. If the board is okay with that.
I think so.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. August 18th. questions that were filled out. The answer was that he had played a paid full for the date of injury, yes. And has the injury resulted in death?
No.
So I want to make everybody aware of that. And also, it's not on the agenda, but highway. I was informed early on Monday morning by the highway superintendent that we had a break-in at the new highway garage and at the transfer station. I spoke with Paul just to get an update early this afternoon. Doesn't appear that anything was taken at this time from the highway garage other than a package that was erroneously delivered to the back door on a Friday. The employees are working 4-10 and not there on Fridays. So they believe a couple of containers of things that you feel that were taken. However, at the transfer station, apparently there's a kitty of petty cash down there that the employees collect as tips. And unfortunately, for the dogs in our community, that money is used to purchase dog treats, and they did take all of that petty cash. It wasn't a lot, but it's unfortunate that we have our residents trying to, representing us down there to work with our community, and we have somebody that appropriate to take something that wasn't theirs. So the sheriff is investigating, and I'll keep you posted on when we find out. I do know, in talking with Paul, that these types of break-ins have occurred, I think, in Hadley and Corinth, possibly. At least two other municipalities in the area. So we're just added to that stream of break-ins. So that's unfortunate. Item 6 on the agenda is employee health care plan. As I indicated at the last board meeting, taking this up in the near future. Historically, we approve the plan for our employees so that we put the budget together, we have accurate numbers. And just to refresh the board's memory, the town offers two plans. HMO qualified 324 plan, also known as the Silver HMO plan. There will be an increase of 2.5%, which is not too bad considering what's going on in other areas of cost for increased services. And those individuals who would voluntarily select to go in the more expensive plans, just a handful of employees, that cost will increase by 4.87%. Our representatives from Daniel Clinton did indicate that next year is going to be a very difficult year for all municipalities because they expect to see possibly double-digit increases in health insurance plans. So, under circumstances, these are slight increases. They won't break the budget, or they are increases. So, with that, I'd like to ask the board for a resolution.
Do you have a resolution?
I'll read it. A resolution that the town of Moreau accept the following health care plans for town employees for the period beginning December 1, 2020. And ending November 30th, 2021. First is the CDPHP HTHMO qualified 324 plan, with the second being MVP Silver 3 EPO HTHP. And so be it further resolved that Daniel Flynn Associates have the authority to contract both CDPHP and MVP to procure these plans on the town's behalf.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Here in the review, was there any other changes to the plan other than the increase that you noted?
No. Thank you. And you want a copy of that?
Yes, please.
We did roll call. No. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Opposed? Motion carries in unanimous.
You guys slow down.
What?
You guys slow down.
All right, next item on the agenda is Recreation Department. First one that we will take up is in relation to a request looking to use a pavilion in November for the community center's annual holiday bazaar. And at this point in time, we're not allowing use of pavilions because of the COVID-19 outbreak. And we haven't changed that policy. I'm not sure what the future is going to hold as we move into the fall. Didn't know what the board's thoughts were on that policy at this time, so we can respond to them.
Well, I just don't think we can give them an answer, a favorable answer at the moment. I think as everything changes, I don't know when they have to let all their people know. I don't think that.
Does everybody have a copy of their email?
I read it.
Okay.
I bet you can have it.
You have to ask.
So
he has also
what's that?
He's also reached out directly to me several times, and I've been sort of waiting until I got some guidance from the board.
I get that. Here's my question. What if you were to use appeals and set up stuff? Use appeals and set up tents versus using our pavilions?
At the moment, it seems as though we are trying to avoid large gatherings, whether it's under a pavilion or within one of the fields in tents. I think the guidance we're seeing is that you want to limit large gatherings as much as possible. With the sporting events that we're doing, again, we're making every effort to keep people as spread as possible. With something like this proposed event, you know, the goal is to bring as many people as possible, and
which is most counter to what
right.
COVID-19
right.
Harbor stopping spread. Right.
My, you know, looking to see what the state has done, for me, when I see that the state is still not allowing the use of their pavilions or their, you know, day use areas and stuff for large gatherings, that tells me that there's still a clear concern about having large gatherings. My recommendation for what it's worth would be to not allow the use of our pavilions for the rest of the year for this event or anything else. I think I have about 5 reservations that were made back during the winter for September and October. And as I did with all of the summer reservations, I would reach out to those folks and let them know that we just can't safely have those types of gatherings this year.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that because we have already canceled 4 people that are lined up for the fall, it would be unfair that if we change the policy now, having told others they can't use it in the fall. But again, I mean, a lot can happen between now and November.
It's time for November to be able to plan for it. And,
right.
And at this point, we're not allowing it, so my thought is not to allow it to happen.
Okay.
With regret, but, you know, sorry, not going to happen for that.
So that's one item on the draft. The next one I have, and I'll let Council Member Hogan
Peter was asking about being able to run some of these other sports programs that the state says are okay to run, and he was looking for guidance and acceptance from the town board. And my feeling was that he should be able to proceed. The sports were lacrosse, soccer, and flag football. They are listed as a moderate contact sport, and that the concerns with the COVID are less with those sports, as long as they found protocols established by the state. And I'm saying, I think we should allow them to reach out to these entities that have been looking for him to give him acceptance to do this and to move forward with that.
Yeah, and after I received this email on the 21st from Peter, I got an email from one of our residents, Jason Vidgale.
Yes.
Who is active with the Southwest Golf Group Lacrosse, looking for, you know, the town's approval to do the non-contact lacrosse based on the protocol that was established in July of this year. So I know you touched on that briefly, but I just wanted to make sure everyone's aware that they received this communication on that. So any other thoughts?
No, I think we're doing everything right. We're doing by the book, and I hope that this could relay over to getting some kids out on the field as much as possible. I know that, you know, they're all, the organization, some of them are more ready to go than others. So those that are ready to go, if they meet our criteria and the state criteria, we'll do our best to get them out there. It's my thought.
And you have the staff and accommodate them with field usage?
Staffing levels are good right now. For lacrosse specifically, we may need to purchase some nets. But that fund for recreational programming has been untouched to this point. The other consideration is these programs, like flag football, generally we do purchase T-shirts. So there will be some requests coming to the board from me over the next few weeks to kind of get our ducks in a row to offer those programs. But again, that budget line was untouched to date.
Maybe your organizers might even be willing to assist us since we are opening up with, you know, helping with the purchase of that.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm assuming the girls lacrosse program probably, if it's just, we have the frames, we just need the nets, right? And I'm sure if they've gotten that sort of thing. You know, that's, they, you know, they're one of these entities that would not need T-shirts or anything like that.
I believe they did donate some nets last year too. So, yep.
Maybe the boys did. I think the girls' youth, because the girls' youth have always used different fields. But I think now they want to get in our field at this point. So.
Yeah, Peter, I'd like to thank you for your hard work. I know I've had people contact you, and I've contacted you, but I'm very interested in getting this thing going. And your hard work is certainly appreciated. I've had people say, well, thank the board. I said, well, if you're okay, but Peter and his staff did the hard work. And I'd like to thank you for the hard work you're doing. And once again, as far as opening these things up again, according to state law, which is very important, and I'd hate to deny the community center their opportunity, but once again, I think we have to stay within the state protocols. So they proved to be bringing the numbers down and getting this thing somewhere under control of the state. So I think it's important that we go through those protocols. And we seem to have everything set up. We seem to work well with the softball teams and the things that we started up earlier. So I think we're on the right path. And once again, thank you for your hard work.
You're very welcome. Speaking of softball, that is my only remaining question. If we are to move forward with all of the fall rec sports, I'm seeking permission to move forward with several small softball tournaments.
Well, there's guidelines on those tournaments, you know, whether they're coming from or prisoners are coming from outside of the area or within the area, and we must stay within whatever we have.
Yes, I can follow all of the guidelines outlined by the state. I've also been in contact with other municipalities in the area that have been offering tournaments to see what's worked and what hasn't. It will take a little bit of coordination in terms of limiting the number of fields in use at any one time and rotating fields so that one group can exit a playing area before another group comes in. But again, with the staffing level that you provided for me over the last few board meetings, we've added a couple of staff. I can do it, and I think that it will be very well received by the teams in the community that have been dying to use our fields. You know better than I do. I've only been here a year, but what I hear time and time and time again is the fields at Moreau Rec, that's where everybody wants to play. And I think they would be very excited to get some games in at the Rec this year.
Are these tournaments that we would host as a town, or is this some of our local teams hosting them?
At the moment, I have three that are still on the schedule. They are all travel tournaments, but one of them would be hosted by the South Glens Falls Girls Softball.
Okay.
Because of the restrictions, as far as where teams can travel from to participate in something like this, I anticipate that these tournaments will probably have 10 to 12 teams match, which is about half of what they normally would this time of year. And all of those teams will be right here from this area. As I said, we currently have eight travel teams that have asked for practice time in September and October, so I suspect that all of them will be playing each other on these few weekends. So.
All right, anything else on that subject?
No, only that we're giving you a lot of move forward with your request.
Just for clarity, probably discussed before, what is our position on the concession stand?
So the concession stand is closed, and my intent would be to keep it closed. There are some concerns, and some of the guidance from the state, there are concerns about food handling and things. My understanding is prepackaged individual servings, so drinks, individually packaged chips and granola bars, things like that could be sold from a table, so long as the volunteers have masks and gloves and those types of things. But we certainly would not be using the concession stand. A physical barrier was not one of the items listed in the things that I have, but before I move forward with anything, I will make sure I can consult with the town's council, make sure that we have all of our ducks in a row. Again, I don't think that will be a deal breaker if we have to say it's not possible to provide a barrier or something and that's necessary, so we're just going to pass on the food. I think that they'll be excited enough to just be able to come and play the games there. And again, it's...
In regards to the concession stands, there's some... Like, they did not get... There is no Department of Health permitting that happened this year. Is that correct?
So, my understanding was South Glens Falls, their permit was valid for 2 years.
Okay.
It's still in force, but it's not in play. It wouldn't be in play under these circumstances.
Okay. Was there, ducts that maybe cleaning out duct work?
There are several things with the concession stand that I would still like to try and complete before year's end. One of them was a cleaning and servicing of the hood and all of the fryer equipment and things. That's typically something that would have been done in the spring prior to the start of the spring rec softball season. It was not done. Again, knowing what we faced going into 2021 with that budget, there was money this year to have that work done, and South Glens Falls Girls Softball has committed to pay for half of the cost of that work. So again, that's something that I hope to bring to the board in the near future so we can get it done this year.
I would just add and remind all board members that been an excellent job this year controlling expenses. Everything that is expended is requested through my office just to make sure it's a necessity. And by doing that, that's going to allow some of this money to come over and help meet the shortfall in sales tax for next year. I think we're down $150,000 in sales tax right now. As you know, we fund a lot of things in sales tax. So we still have to be vigilant on what we're doing with this budget. So just ask for that.
Sure.
All right. Moving on to item 8 on the agenda is the planning board vacancy. And as a result of the appointments we made at the last town board meeting, we now have a additional vacancy on the planning board. And I received a request from a planning board alternate, it's actually from Ann Perdue, who is an attorney that served as alternate on the planning board, and she sent me an email on August 19th, says, in a nutshell, I understand that Alan has moved back to the town board, leaving a vacancy on the planning board. I have very much enjoyed serving as an alternate over the past year or so, would be happy to fill the current vacancy. Let me know if and how I can be of help. Best regards, Ann. So if the board chooses to act on this request, it would be to fill a 7-year term, which was vacated by council member Ed Tassel, and it would carry through December 31st, 2026. So I don't know what the board's pleasure is on that.
I actually have come a few times when she has been part of the board, and everyone has been pleased with her knowledge, and so she has a career in, so I think it's a fine appointment.
Yeah, I personally think it's a great choice. She's got a different perspective with her legal background, helps the board with some balance, and she's been very good. My interaction with her prior to being on that board, and while a short time on that board, of all positive, I think she'd be a strong board.
No thoughts.
I'm not familiar with it, but I would agree with the majority.
Sounds
like a good thing.
Okay, so if the board would like to act on that tonight, I would need a motion to appoint Ann R. Perdue to the position of planning board member to fill the unexpired term vacated by the resignation of Alan Van Pass.
Second.
Any comments or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 9, I have a question.
Oh, sir. So we'll have to think about that now, right? Because we've got off.
Well, we've got an ongoing posting on the website. We're looking for anybody who wants to step up. And we'll take it from there. Under appointments, it's basically just a formal process I have to make with council member Van Tassel joining the board. I'm going to ask him to fill the vacated committee assignments by former council member LeClaire, which include economics, small business, and technology development, the industrial park, local waterfront revitalization, personnel and employee compensation, recreation, water and sewer district committee, Crandall library liaison, and finally the Borough Community Center liaison.
Sure.
Have a motion on that. Does it have an appointment? Correct. So for the record. Item 10 I have listed as the Old West Road Traffic Study. We have been, as a board, we've heard from residents, we had town board members asking for an investigation, if you will, that might be a strong word, regarding truck traffic on Washburn Road and Old West Road down on the southern portion of the town. And so as a result of that, I did request a traffic study from the Adirondack Glens Falls Transportation Council. They graciously accommodated us through their engineering firm, Craig Manning. August 21st, they released a report on their findings. I think every board member should have at least an electronic copy of it. I'll just highlight a couple points in the report. We'll get it up on the town's website for the public to review, so that they don't have to fill out a request. But essentially, they looked at what the existing conditions are down there, and just for the record, they gave you a thumbnail sketch which says that the Harbor Hollow transfer station is located at 100 Washburn Road. Operated by Casella Waste Systems and allows community residents, area businesses, and municipalities to drop off their permitted municipal solid waste, recycling, construction, demolition materials, and yard waste. However, it does not accept hazardous or liquid waste. Trucks are then used to offload the materials for final destinations, which include landfills, recycling plants, incinerators, and that facility operates between 7 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. To noon on Saturday. The areas of this study, as indicated, with Washburn Road, there's what they did is they collected traffic volume data, showed that the Washburn Road served approximately 425 vehicles per day. They also evaluated Old West Road. Their findings indicated that the traffic volume data that was collected by Craig Manning was that the road serves approximately 775 vehicles per day west of Washburn Road. They also did a crash analysis. I know the safety was a big issue of concern. And on the crash analysis, they said that there are two crashes on Washburn Road and three crashes on Old West Road over the last 5 years, based on the data that they evaluated. Both crashes on Washburn Road were collisions with deer that involved property damage, while one of the crashes on Old West Road involved a collision with a deer that resulted in a non-reportable crash. Non-reportable crashes are collisions that result in less than $1,000 in damage. The remaining two crashes on Old West Road involved collisions with fixed objects. One was a tree, one was a fire hydrant. And that resulted in property damage crash and injury crash. These collisions occurred on the sharp curve located approximately 200 feet southeast of U.S. Route 9 and were the result of unsafe speed and driver error due to alcohol involvement. None of the crashes on the segment to Washburn Road or Old West Road involved a truck. A couple more points. I just picked out the highlights in the report. This study was conducted for the period of July 24, 2020 through July 31st, 2020. All they looked at speeds. There's a table in the report that indicates the average speed on Washburn Road and Old West Road east is consistent with the posted 45 mile per hour speed limit, and that the 85th percentile speed on those roadways is approximately 5 to 10 miles per hour above the posted speed limit. By comparison, the average speed on Old West Road is generally 5 miles per hour below the posted 45 mile per hour speed limit, with the 85th percentile speed consistent with the posted speed limits. So, in summarizing, classification, speeds and crashes on Washburn Road and Old West Road are as follows. Data shows that although truck percentages range from 7% to 27% of total traffic, truck traffic in the Hiram Hollow transfer station do not contribute to unusual traffic conditions, crashes, or speeds as compared to general traffic. Information published by the Washington State Transportation Center in classification vehicle volume distribution indicates that the national average heavy vehicle percentages for urban roads with a similar functional class as Old West Road and Washington Road is approximately 5%. So we're within that 27% range. So anybody who really wants to pour over the data, there's an awful lot to look at. I welcome you to look at it, and if you want to offer comments on that the next board meeting, feel free to do so. But just want to thank the Adirondack Principal Transportation Council for doing that for us. But they're extremely thorough. We didn't have to pay for it, and we got information that we otherwise wouldn't have had. And we'll get that up on our website if anybody wants to take a look at it. Item 11 is a supervisor item. Just have a couple items to report on. The first one is I'm pleased to report that I signed a contract for the Northeast Hurricanes, which runs through October 31st, 2020 of this year. And they will be paying $1,700 per field use, which is what was approved by the board earlier in the year. So that's very good news in helping to grow our recreational offerings down there. I received, this is in relation to the Borough Sewer Project, I received the SHPO findings letter, and it indicates from the first group, dear Supervisor Kuznir, there's a note of phase one archaeological survey report prepared by Stony Creek Archaeology for the town sewer project was submitted to the State Historic Preservation Office, or SHPO, for review. SHPO has completed the review of this project and has issued a finding of no effect, and a copy of this letter will be in my office. If anybody wants to talk to you. More unsettling news in relation to sales tax that you received August 18th. The updated sales tax reporting. And for Tom Moreau, as I indicated earlier in the meeting, year-to-date change, we're down $150,008 so far this year. August to August, this represents a 12% reduction in sales tax. Year-to-date, we're at just over 9% reduction. The numbers are not where we want them to be. Received a little bit of bad news from Northern Border Regional Commission. As board members are aware, we applied for funding through NBRC's Economic Infrastructure Development Grant. Competition was very strong this year, with applications up by over 35%. And compared to 2019, and we did not receive funding in this round. So, nothing to do with one here, but we also weren't counting on data, so put it right there. Just a notice, you've seen the message boards on 197, maybe on 192. West River Road is currently closed between Route 197 and Clark Road. CP Rail working on the rail crossing down there. And that should be closed through the 28th. And then it will reopen. Leanne received an email, which she forwarded to my office. From the folks over at the Head Start. They've indicated an uptick in the number of people coming to their building, the town hall, and have signs out there. Even with the new signs that we put up last year at the firehouse, I can see from my office everybody turning in there to go to court on court day. And actually, some just drive right across the lawn because they don't want to go back out on the highway to come to court. They said the issue has gotten worse for them. They have concerns because they have small children playing on the side with strangers coming up, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic in play. So maybe one of the things might want to look on my building grounds, take a look at our signage. Maybe it can be more clear. Maybe it can be relocated. I think we can do to minimize the number of people going to the wrong building. So I'll be happy to respond with them if someone wants to take a look at that. See what we can do. Another item I have, I was asked to participate in a webinar with supervisors, village mayors from up and down the eastern side of New York State, the Liberators Group, where we had an hour-long discussion talking about how we're navigating the COVID-19 fiscal challenge. I outlined the steps that we as a town took to minimize impact on the budget. Also to put in place safety protocols for regular staff and the public. That was very good, especially for some of the smaller towns to hear from the larger towns. We had a town on there that has a population of 150,000. We'll make sure it's kind of small, 15,000, 16,000. We also had a town on there with a population of 4,000. So we weren't the largest, but we certainly weren't the smallest. And a lot of good information was circulated based on all of our experiences. Particular towns or villages. New York State DOT continues to work down the lake. They've done some more culvert replacements. They're working there. I'm kind of impressed on this time they put in there because that rail is not assigned for the trees. They have to share it among four regions. And we've had it for a couple of weeks now, so they're making headway there. Hopefully that helps. Some of the surface water issues that are down in that area. I have a copy of the raw landfill and one semi-annual 2020 proposed gas monitoring report. Everything's in place. You must take a look at it in my office. Stimulating reading. And I believe that's all I have. So committee report. Anybody want to report on committees?
Just the transportation. After our change of wording and authorizing for Paul Ferrell and that 6 by 12, what we had worded around was by an arguable rendition. So I asked us if we could rewrite this. And it's been rewritten and submitted to Ted, and hopefully it's not arguable as to what's the bottom, what isn't, and what the cost will be.
Yeah, I saw it. It's put it out today, so hopefully it's in their hands tomorrow.
Yes.
That would be very nice to have it.
Is it arguable, or is it difficult for our town employee to say no to somebody?
Well, you can see how it's written at this point.
This is what Chairman says?
That's what we submitted today.
So what's the arguable part?
Well, the arguable part was the next...
Oh, this is today. Okay. Yes.
So it previously had dump trailers, state bodies, dump trucks, and utility trailers larger than, exceeding 6 by 12 to be $30 fee. People were arguing that dump trailers, if they were smaller than 6 by 12, you wouldn't have to pay for them.
But I appreciate the change.
It should be clear that dump trailers are $30 fee.
Right.
But the way it was written, they were arguing that, well, this trailer it should be fine at this point.
Excellent. Thank you for taking that.
I look forward to revising it next week, 2 weeks.
Anything else?
Sorry.
We know that it was broken into, but that's a line.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, one thing. Carl, how are you doing? I was told that we're going to continue on with the preparation and put stuff over and see what happens.
Absolutely. As you're well aware, by my numerous emails in the past week and a half since our last meeting, the board's been given a couple sections of the law each time. The board has been very good at responding and giving me some feedback. I had sent one out a couple days ago, but I think JJ, I think you sent me your response today, maybe, or last night. I'm getting the information in at this point. We're moving forward. As you all know from the emails, because there is such a difference between an opinion between a couple of you on the board, I don't know as if you're going to get a full unanimous go ahead, Carlos, we'll send this out. You may have to say, for example, on your farm, your productive farmland definition, some of you want it, some of you don't. You're going to have to come to a consensus saying, whatever it is now, we're going to have that. But when it's done, we'll send it out, and we'll deal with it with the public hearing, and then we'll talk about it. But at this point, you know, that's going to be on you. You're all, I think I send you an email at least once a day, every other day, or whatnot. So it's moving forward as expected.
Well, in fairness to our new board member, to Alan just got on the board.
He did.
And we want to make sure he has an opportunity to weigh in on that as well.
Right, and Alan hasn't been able to, I know he's looked at it, but he hasn't been able to give me any comments yet. So
I had a comment.
Yes.
No, I told the car. I did talk to Jim Mark today.
You did talk to Jim Mark today about which one?
About the 18 inches of.
Yes, oh, he did.
And he said it was a stutter exam, and I pointed out what my thoughts were. He said, I can change that. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
But it was a matter of a stutter exam, and they have no higher than the upper roof line.
Okay, so I'll email you guys just to make sure that that's what he wants to do and how you want to change it. I'm trying to create as much of a record for all you folks as possible.
Sure.
So that when we come to creating it, there's not a, but I did say that. It's all right there.
Excellent. We appreciate that. We're going to need an executive session this evening. And I'll let council.
We need an executive session for the potential purchase of real property interest and the cost thereof.
Second.